Well, if you're here with us today, maybe you're visiting with some of the little ones. And we've been doing this study entitled Life-Changing Stories. And what we've been looking at is the parables of Jesus and how Jesus tells these stories and he wants them to be life-changing stories. He wants us to learn things from these parables that will change our life and even change our destiny. Let me share with you a little story to kind of get you on the road that I want you to be on for this morning's message as we look at Matthew 25 here in just a moment. Some years ago, we were vacationing, and I don't know if you are like me when you go on vacation. I always like to take a couple books, and I like to read. I like to read a lot, and I mean read just novels, you know, things that are, just enjoyable, just a story. And on this particular vacation, I forgot to take a book. And we were visiting with friends down south, and I mentioned something about not having anything to read. And she said, oh, I got something I can share with you. And she went and she got a book off her shelf. And she said, have you ever heard of? And she mentioned the author. It really doesn't matter. Somebody actually asked me. It's Mary Higgins Clark. You ever read any Mary Higgins Clark? You know, she's like a suspense novelist. And she gave me a Mary Higgins Clark book. And she said, here, read this. You'll really like it. And I said, okay. And so I took the book. And I didn't read it on vacation. I don't know why, but I just didn't start it. I took the book home and I put it on the shelf. And every few days or every week or a couple of weeks, I would notice there's that book. Oh, I got to read that book. She gave me that book. She said I'd really enjoy it. I need to read that. And it went on like this for literally days and weeks and months. And I think even over a year, maybe two, where that book sat on my shelf. And every little while I would see it, I would notice it. And I would admonish myself to go back and read it. You know, that this lady gave me this book. She said that I would enjoy it, and I needed to read it. Well, after a couple of years, I finally read it. And guess what? I loved it. Matter of fact, I've read everything that Mary Higgins Clark has ever written since then. Everyone, I've got them all. And my daughters and I, we pass them around and share them, you know, that way. If she came out with a new book today, I would leave as soon as we said amen, and I would go and buy it. Okay? I've read everything. She's probably written 26, 30 different novels. And it all started with that first one. Okay? And but it laid around my house for years before I finally picked it up. And you know what? I wonder how many of us here this morning are that way with the parables. How many of us are that way with the Word of God? Because somewhere in your house, you've got this book, and it's sitting there on the shelf. And I'm telling you what, man, it is fantastic. The stories in here are tremendous. The things that are in here are not just for entertainment. They can change your life. But the only way it can do it is if you take it down off the shelf and if you get into it. And I'll guarantee if you get into it sufficiently that you will devour it. As soon as you read part of it, you'll go to another part of it. And as soon as you finish the whole book, you'll go back and read it again. I knew one young lady here at church that read the Harry Potter books. And every time they came out with a new one, she read all the previous ones again. Now, if you've ever seen these books, they're like this thick. But every time they came out with, you know, episode 37 or whatever it was, I don't remember, I didn't read them actually, but she would reread them all because she was just into it that much. How much are you into the Word of God? You see, Jesus said that he told them this parable. And we've been looking at this. Another place it said Jesus told them many parables. Matthew 13:13 says that this is why I speak to them in parables, so that they can see and hear and understand. Because seeing they don't see, and hearing they do not understand, and do not understand. God wants us to see, he wants us to hear, he wants us to understand. And a lot of the ways that happens is for us to just be changed by these beautiful stories that God tells in his word. Now, let me give you another little tidbit here that'll help you get on the path. What's the most that you would ever pay per pound for steak in a grocery store? You know, I remember, you know, I don't know. I don't do a lot of that, but I like to cook it. I fancy myself as a pretty good cook on the grill. but Arlene usually buys steaks. But I had a friend of mine that told me about a particular cut of steak at Giant Eagle. Can I hear an amen? There we go. Yeah, got some Giant Eagle employees here. And he told me, go get this particular cut of steak. He said, don't pay attention to how much it costs. It's worth it. So I went and I'm looking and I figured out what he had to, what he was talking about, because it was $21 a pound. Yeah, that steak, right? You know, the one that they actually lock up behind the counter, right? And, but I said, how much do those fillets weigh? And he said, oh, they're like 6 or 8 ounces. I'm like, oh, okay, two of them, 20 bucks. So I did that. I bought them. And I took them home and I put them on the grill and I made them. Oh my goodness. You know what? I've been eating $3 steaks my whole life. And I'm just now realizing that when you pay more for something like that, it just might be worth it. You see, some of you are here this morning and you don't realize what's in front of you. You don't realize what God is saying. You don't realize the difference it can make. You don't understand how much better life will taste if you experience life this way. But if we get it, if we understand it, if we see and hear and understand, these parables can change our lives. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 25 at what is commonly known as the parable of the talents. Remember that story, the parable of the talents? If you look there in the middle of that chapter, it talks about how the master went away, and when he went away, he gave talents. Some versions say that he gave bags of gold. To one he gave 5, to another he gave 2, to another he gave 1, and he told them to invest them, to increase them. And so he went away, and while he was away, you know, the one with 5 gained 5 more, the one with 2 gained 2 more, and the one with 1, he was afraid of what his master might do if he lost it, so he dug a hole and he hid it in the ground. And if you read, now this is a paraphrase, but this is exactly what the master comes back and he sees the person who gave 5 and who now has 10, and he compliments him. He praises him for the great job that he'd done. The one that had 2 that now had 4, he did the same thing. The one that had 1, he called him wicked and evil and slothful and sinful. And he took away what he'd given him and he gave it to the guy that had the most. And when you understand this idea of what God is trying to say here to us, this story can change your life. Now let me do what I've done for several weeks, and that is kind of put this into context. Because if you look at the entire chapter of Matthew chapter 25, it's really interesting what you see. Now, if you look there, and you can look in your Bible, and you can see this. Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13, it tells about the wise and the foolish virgins. It's about these folks who prepare their lanterns to welcome the bridegroom. And some of them were wise, and they had enough oil for the evening, and others were foolish, and they did not pay attention to what they needed, and the bridegroom came, and 5 of them weren't ready. And 5, the other 5 were ready. And the 5 that weren't ready went to the ones that were ready and said, share your oil with us. And the ones that were ready said, we don't have enough for ourselves and also to share with you. Go and buy it somewhere else. And you see interwoven in this story is this idea of in the last days, some are going to be ready and some are not going to be ready. Talks about the virgins. It also talks about in chapter 25, starting in verse 14 through verse 30. That's the story of the talents, of the gold, if you will. You know, he gave 5 and 2 and 1, and some did what was right, and others were lazy and slothful, and that what they had was taken away from them. And then in verse 31 through the end of the chapter, in verse 46, it talks about the goats. So you have virgins, you have gold, you have goats. And in the goats here, it says that there's going to be a separation. That in the last days, when the master comes back, when Jesus comes back, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and the one is going to be heralded into eternal life with him, and the others were going to be cast out. Now think about this for a moment, because I think what he's really wanting us to understand and to get to is that these stories, these life-changing stories, the parable of the talents, is not just about what God has given us, but it's about his return. Jesus' return. You ever notice how some people, when they talk about Jesus' return, they say when, and they say it with a question mark. In other words, I've actually had people ask me this, when's Jesus going to come back? Matter of fact, if you want to stop a room, just find yourself conversing with people at work, and maybe people are talking about, American Pharoah and the Triple Crown or football or Penn State or whatever, and just in the heart of all this conversation, say, hey, does anybody want to know when Jesus is coming back? And then watch the room just empty, right? Because it's like, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in God, you understand that this day is coming, this day is going to happen, but we don't talk about it very much. But here's the thing, folks, when you talk about Jesus' return, I don't think you should just talk about it as far as when, question mark, but you need to talk about it in the context of when, exclamation point. Not whether or not if he coming back, but that he is coming back, and the light of that and the reality of that, how should that cause us to then live? Because listen, folks, that's exactly what these parables are about. They're about life now and what we're doing with life now and how we're living and what we're trusting in and what we're doing with our time and what we're investing ourselves in and what we're investing our money in, what we're doing with what God has given us and how we're preparing for that awful day and how we're living separate lives than the rest of the world. There's coming, this day is coming when Jesus comes back and he's going to judge. He's going to judge everybody. He's going to judge everything. And listen, I know and I believe with all my heart that the only way that any of us are going to get into that wonderful place called heaven is by his grace and mercy. But he also wants us to think about how we're living. I love Warren Wiersbe. I don't know if you ever read Warren. He's a commentator, and he wrote this little commentary. It's a one-volume commentary on the whole Bible, and he takes each chapter of the Bible, and he'll just kind of succinctly tell you some salient thoughts about that chapter of the Bible. I really loved what he said about Matthew 25, because he used three words to describe what God was going to do here when it comes to his return. Let me give you all three of them, and then we'll talk about them individually. He says the first word is separation. Okay, when Jesus comes back, there's going to be some separating. Number two, there's going to be some evaluation. He's going to look at what we've done with what he's given us, how we've managed it, and he's going to evaluate us according to how good of a job that we have done. And then thirdly, there's going to be some commendation. Now think about those three words in light of Matthew 25. There's going to be separation. It says that when Jesus comes back, that he's going to separate the right from the wrong, the good from the evil, the faithful from the unfaithful, the saved and the lost, those that are born again and those that have refused the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a separation. He says there's going to be two camps. There's going to be the sheep and there's going to be the goats. And which are we? There's going to be those that are good managers, those that are good stewards, and those that are not. There's going to be those that make excuses and those that don't. There's going to be this sip. I mean, he's going to call the roll. And listen, folks, in our day and time, this is not a very popular message. Remember a few years ago, Rob Bell got in all kinds of trouble because he wrote a book that said that he had stopped or he no longer believed in hell. That's a great message, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but boy, that's something that would just really fly with our culture today. Okay, there's no such thing as hell. There's no such thing as an eternal separation from God. Wouldn't that be awesome? It's because our culture, they don't want to talk about things like this. Last week on social media, on my Facebook page, I actually put a quote out there, and I said, you know, why is it that people start with themselves and then tell God who they are and how they want to live, instead of saying, God, who are you and how should I live? You see, we live in a culture today, it just starts with us. And we make God fit into who we are rather than saying, you know what, I want to be the kind of person that pleases God. It's not a very popular message, but in the last days, when Jesus comes again, there's going to be a separation. And some are going to be in eternal glory with him, and some are not. Some are going to be cast out. Some are going to be separated from those that really, really, really love God. He also says that there's going to be an evaluation. You know, this kind of scares me, doesn't it you? I mean, I just think it's kind of scary to think, okay, that God is going to evaluate what I've done with what he's given me. God is going to evaluate, who I am and how I've served, you know, him. I remember I was in a men's group one time, and this fellow asked our little men's group, he said, you know, how are you doing as a husband? And, you know, I just kind of told him the truth. I said, man, I'm awesome. And he said, you know what? How about if I call your wife and ask her? I said, no, don't do that. Right? You know, we don't mind evaluation if we're evaluating ourselves. But think about here. The creator of the universe, the giver of life, the very Son of God, God himself, is going to evaluate how well we've done with what he's given us. I think that's why Paul says things like this in his writing. He says, wretched man that I am. You know, the very things that I want to do, that I should do, I don't do. How could Paul do that? How could Paul say that? It's because he had this war going on inside of himself between the flesh and the spirit. And a lot of times he was just real honest, said, you know what? A lot of times, you know, my flesh wins. My flesh overcomes. And we all have to just think about and understand that day is coming when we are going to be evaluated according to what God has given us and what we've done with it. And then commendation. Well done, my good and faithful service. You have been servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler, master over many things. You've heard it said that the reward of work well done is more work to do. And the person that really enjoys life and enjoys accomplishment, especially in things of faith, they just eat this up. They just eat up the commendation of God when they hear God whisper or say to them, you know, thank you for your service. Thank you for what you're doing. And maybe the world doesn't notice. Maybe the world doesn't take note. But we understand that God loves us. And God loves it that we love him and that we serve him. See, so when you're talking about the Lord's return, don't think about the Lord's return when question mark. Think about the Lord's return when exclamation point, because it's going to happen. And when it happens, it's going to be all about this. It's going to be about separation and evaluation and accommodation. How well are you doing in that? Because you see, folks, it's all about living a life that pleases God. You know, every day when you get up, it's really that easy. It's really that's really all there is to it. You know, I'm going to live today in such a way that shows that I love God because I know that God loves me. And he's going to season my words. He's going to be the thoughts behind my actions. You know, think about it. Has it ever just occurred to you that nothing just occurs to God? I mean, God is like all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere. Therefore, he's everywhere that we are. And we need to understand that not only am I going to stand before him on that great and glorious day when he comes again, But because I'm going to stand before him then, that it should absolutely make a difference in how we live now. Because you see, so many times nobody ever thinks about the end until it's the end. And see, if you only think about the end when it's at the end, that's when your life is full of regrets. But if you think about the end when you're at the beginning, or when you're in the middle, or at least when you're a long way from the end, then the preparation for that day will make all the difference in the world. Because let me tell you something, folks. You're going to be there before you know it. Arlene said to me the other day, she said, John, can you imagine we're going to be married 33 years next week? I said, no. Yeah. Just this morning, I got a text from my daughter. She's, her and her husband are away. They're celebrating her anniversary, and they've been married 6 years. No. Yeah. All you parents who are up here with these little kids, I mean, it's like just yesterday they were born. Yesterday you held them. Tomorrow they're going to ask you for the keys to the car, okay? We have this new neighbor at our house. He has a 6-year-old little son. My neighbor drives a Hummer. I said to him yesterday when we were cooking out hamburgers at our house, I said, you know what? He's going to be asking you for keys to that Hummer really soon. He's like, no. I said, yeah. Life goes that fast. But you see, folks, if we keep in mind the end, before it's the end, what happens there can help us to live a life that is gratifying and satisfying now. You know, just not too long ago, I was actually in a card store. I was looking for a card for a particular thing, and I ran across a card, and this was the message on the card. I want to share it with you. It said, if I could do it all over again, I'd most likely go back to the day we first met and stay home. If I could do it all over again, I'd most likely go back to the day we first met, and I would just stay home. Now, I didn't buy that card, okay? I was not looking for an anniversary card for Arlene for our 33rd. But, you know, when I read that, I thought, okay, you know, the card company does this, don't you? They put these things on the front of the card that kind of catches your attention and makes you read it, and hopefully you will buy it. I did not buy this card, but that was the message that was on the card. And I'm thinking, you know what? If I could do it all over again, is that the outlook I would have? Because I think that if we realize it, we can do it over again. If I could do it all over again, I could change things. I could do things differently. I mean, think about it. If the five foolish virgins that didn't prepare for the oil for the evening, you think if they had to do it over again, you think they would have done anything different? I think they would have. I mean, you think if the guy that had gotten the one talent who thought that in his thought process that he thought he was doing right, but going out and burying that one talent in a hole and saying to the master, I know the kind of master you were, and I was afraid, so I hid it in the ground. Here is what was yours. You think that if that servant would have understood and realized that during the separation and the valuation and the commendation that he was going to hear, you wicked hear God say these things to him that was tearing him down because of the poor job that he did? You think that if he went back that he would still hide that in the ground? You think if during the separation of the sheep and the goats and Jesus said, okay, over here's you're in the goat pile and over here's the sheep, you think if you had it to do over again that you would do something different that would make you stand out not as a goat but as a sheep? Loved by the shepherd? I mean, I don't know about you folks. I think one of the most foolish things that people can say in life is that if I had to do over again, and I wouldn't do anything different, because we would. And here's the thing, folks, when it comes to spirituality and Christianity, we can. I don't know how many golfers we have here, but I played in a golf tournament last year where they allowed you to buy mulligans. You know what a mulligan is? A mulligan is an agreement between two people that can't putt. And they allowed you to buy mulligans. Now, we didn't win this golf tournament. The team that did win it, I found out why they won it, because each of the four people on the team bought 9 mulligans. 9, 18, 36 mulligans. They had 36 mulligans, do-overs, second chances, and it made them a winner. You see, God gives us a second chance, a third chance, and a 100th chance if that's what we need. He will allow us to go back and do things over, to do things right, to do things better. And the thing about it is, when we do things over, when we do things right, when we do things better, that old way of doing things that wasn't so good, it's forgotten. It's thrown away. It doesn't count anymore. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach them with this beautiful and awesome story. So let's allow this story of the second coming of Christ's return change our life as it did theirs. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just pray, Father, for every person in this room today. God, help us to be changed by your story. Help us to be changed, Lord, by these parables. Help us to put our faith and our trust totally, completely in you. Help us, Lord, to go back and to evaluate and to re-examine and to change our mind and to change our thinking and to change our attitude, Lord, to change our actions. And may we know, Father, that you give us the chance to do that each and every day. So, Lord, I pray that you would give that power to every person in this room, and that, God, that we would understand that day is coming when we're going to stand before you. We're going to stand before you and we're going to be separated. We're going to be evaluated. We're going to be commendated. And Lord, as we look forward and know that day's coming, Father, may the reality of that day coming help to change us, Lord, into who you want us to be today. And Father, may it happen even now as we sing and as we share together. In Jesus' holy name, amen.